This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's turn our attention back to the Dallas Cowboys and talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, boys. How's it going?
Well, we're pretty good. We gave you 24 hours and a very simple plan of fix it all. Have you figured out a way to fix everything that went wrong for the Cowboys on Sunday?
Yes, I did. And for fear of my humor falling flat, I was going to respond to you by saying, first place Dallas Cowboys.
It's a fair point. That is a fair point.
They are tied
right
with two other teams.
Well, I'm glad you laughed because I was worried you were going to go, what's he talking about?
Unlike some, I watched the end of the Philly game. I knew who had won and who had lost.
They've just given up more points. Okay, I see where you're going.
It's just like last night, right? I'm sitting there going, golly, Kirk Cousins, what is this guy doing, right? And then the last series, he's like, okay, let me march 70 yards downfield in about six plays to score the winning touchdown.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have expected that watching the other 48 or whatever, 58 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal. And then he does that. That's amazing.
The conversation with Mike Zimmer yesterday, mm-hmm. He got up there and he's very upfront about it. And I don't think he's ever really minced words about things. What was the main takeaway from what he wants to do to fix this?
Well, I mean, he kind of, you know, very humbly took the blame and put it on his own shoulders. You know, he didn't really blame the players. He said, I've got to make them better. We've got to prepare them better. But again, when you look at what happened, it just doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, what did you see in the first game, and then what did you see in the second game?
Yeah.
Right? I would admit that New Orleans is much better than Cleveland, but
yes.
You know, they ended up winning this past Sunday, right?
Cleveland? Against a crappy team.
They tried to lose it again.
But yeah, it just didn't make sense. Everything we saw in training camp, everything we saw in the first game, the things they did against the Rams, and then they fall flat like that. I'm looking at it, and it's like the whole thing turned on one series. Because we forget that with, 7:43 left in the second quarter, it was a one-score game, right? 21-13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the roof caved in. They marched 70 yards for a touchdown. 59 of the 70 yards were running, right? It's like, how do you do that? Kamara had 48 yards and Williams had 11 on that drive. And it's like, well, what are they doing? And you thought they almost got off, and then Donovan Wilson got called for the holding on the 3rd and 6. And then of course, you know, as it goes, they ended up with the pass to Jalen Brooks, and he falls down and goes right to the DB
It was a tough game for Jalen Brooks, I thought.
Right, and then they get the score right away, and now the thing got out of hand, and suddenly it's 35-13. When 7 minutes ago it was 21-13. So, yeah. And then he gets away from you, and then, the roof caved in. So, look, they got to be better against the run, and they're going to get tested by Baltimore, right? And,
yes.
You know, and you know, maybe I'm not saying maybe. They probably ought to use Overshown as a spy
on for
Lamar
sure.
Jackson, right? And, you know, and all the questions about why didn't he play more, well, that's the way they were playing their defense. When they were playing three linebackers, they were playing Leofau as the third linebacker. And then when they would go to their nickel, then they would bring in Overshown to play with Kendricks. Well, they didn't really have to use chose not to use the nickel because they were playing a heavy set. They were in two tight ends, or they're playing Taysom Hill as a fullback. And so they said, okay, we're not going to make the mistake they made last year by playing those skinny safeties up there against run formations. We're going to use three linebackers. Well, that didn't work out so well because New Orleans had a really good plan. I don't know if, you want to say they out-schemed them, but that's why.
Yes, I do want to say that.
And that's why Overshown didn't play, because he wasn't playing on their normal 4-3 defense. And we'll see if that changes.
Now, Zimmer also did say that he was here for the pickle juice game, and if he hadn't corrected,
so was I.
If he didn't fit, I was around. I was a fan at the time, just kind of watching as a kid. But he said if I hadn't fixed it, I wouldn't be standing here today. Do you know what happened the next week after they gave up 306 yards to the Eagles?
I don't think I remember looking at that. I remember looking up the 306.
They gave up 98. To Arizona, and then 107 to Washington.
Hell yeah!
So he did correct it a little bit. I don't remember
Take that, Adrian Morrell.
I think it was, I can't remember which, if it was at training camp or maybe when he first got here and he did the interview, and he told the story about the first time he was a defensive coordinator, which was that game, mm-hmm. right? And he said that, you know, he spent the whole week devising all these blitz packages and these fancy coverage packages, and then they got run right over. And he said to himself, okay, I learned a lesson. You better stop the run if you're going to survive in this league. And I think he adjusted on what he was trying to do defensively. Now, I'm sure they knew that New Orleans was going to run the ball, so it wasn't like, well, I wasn't prepared to stop the run. The problem was, and the guys up front just didn't do much.
I completely agree with you, Mickey.
And I know we're talking about one specific aspect, but I think on both sides of the ball,
they got beat on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they
right?
cannot win the line of scrimmage at all.
No, and defensively, so they tried to get bigger, right? They bring in those big old veteran boys, right?
Yes.
Between those two, Joseph Phillips and Mozzie Smith, they zeroed out. They didn't do nothing. And it's okay if you don't make tackles, but you got to hold down the line of scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. And so the linebackers are getting picked off. So that was what I think bothered me the most. The screen pass to Kamara for 57 yards, it was one of those, I gotcha, because the Cowboys blitzed two of the three linebackers on that play, and it left Kendricks all by himself with two offensive linemen coming at him. And they were also in man defense. So the corners, who both were on the same side of the field, the Cowboys' right, the whole left side was wide open because they were in man, and they're running downfield with the receivers. And no one turned around to look to see, oh, they've already thrown the ball to Kamara. And he goes untouched 57 yards on that screen pass. So there was a couple weird things that happened. But, you know, sometimes they get you. But to go to the offensive line, I mean, Dak seemed to be under siege the whole day.
Yeah.
He got sacked three times, got hit four times. And this is usually my indication when a quarterback's not comfortable in the pocket or he's hurrying himself. He had 9 passes defensed. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
He's accurate, right? Well, a lot of times when you're hurrying yourself, you're not scanning the field. You're saying, okay, I got to get the ball out, and maybe the guy's not open. But that's a lot of passes defensed. I thought both lines just did not do the job. And I thought in this game, the way they wanted to play this going into training camp was Sam Williams playing defensive end and not having Micah have to stand up against double teams on the run at defensive end.
Yeah.
But they had no choice.
Yep.
Because they were trying to use some of their backup defensive ends inside to get a pass rush. But as it turned out, they didn't do that either, and they didn't stop the run. So, yeah, it was like a perfect storm, and, boy, they got blown away.
Excellent stuff, as always. Good, sir. We will catch you again tomorrow.
I'll see if I can do a better job.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'll be fixing it now by tomorrow.
All right. You got
Thank
one
you.
More. You got 24
Please.
More hours.
But it's still going to be the first place Dallas Cowboys.
That's the spirit. There you go. Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. We've got a lot of feedback for the rest of this in terms of nobody usually cares about your fantasy football team. They might pretend, but they don't.
Mm.
But today we do. For the 972, share your triumphs, your sadness. I had zero players left. Opposing team had Hurts. He was ahead by 1.5 points before the final Hurts interception, which put me in the lead. Eagles lose. I win. It's a win-win.
That's awesome.
That
Whenever
is awesome.
Whenever the team you're rooting against is also like something like that happens and you're able to get a victory and you get to watch them lose, that's
For
an awesome
sure.
moment. I love it.
From the 901, in my money work league, both of my starting running backs, Christian McCaffrey and Isaiah Pacheco, are hurt and on injured reserve.
Dude.
Do I need to pack it up?
Kevin, I got this picture just a few minutes ago that I showed you, and it was a guy who's, it's a meme that's going around. His fantasy team has Jordan Love, Mostert, Kenneth Walker, A.J. Brown, Devo Samuel, Njoku, and Kupp. All of them are out or doubtful. That's his whole starting lineup. Sorry about that, man. That's tough for you.
Do you guys think I have a keeper league?
All right.
Do you guys think I should keep Corey Seager? I'm struggling with that one because of his injuries.
Yeah.
Fantasy baseball.
I would keep him. I mean, he performs. But you're trying to win each week, right? In baseball.
No, it's an accumulation league.
Okay.
And I think I would keep him.
Yeah,
too.
I'd keep him.
Okay. I mean, he led me. He helped.
Yeah.
I also had Acuña on my
And
team.
He's getting the surgery at the right time.
That helps.
That not in the offseason. He's getting it done now, yeah. So he'll be healthy by next year.
Yeah,
it's kind of the offseason.
And then trust DeGrom, you know?
He's not on my fantasy team.
Never mind.
From the 214, my work league commissioner decided to do 1 point per completion for quarterbacks, and it's the dumbest thing I've ever witnessed in fantasy. Definitely making things more interesting / frustrating.
Wow, I've never seen that before, but man, that puts an emphasis. If you're getting points for touchdowns and points for yards. Then that puts a huge emphasis on your quarterback because he could have you 30 points by the end of the half sometimes. I don't know about that.
Yeah, it sounds like that person is right there with you. From the 318, I had James Cook, J.K. Dobbins, and Jonathan Taylor, and I only won by 4 points.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I was playing against Alvin Kamara. That
Sorry.
Makes sense then. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
From the 254, I benched Marvin Harrison Jr. for Amari Cooper because I stupidly thought Dallas's defense just looked that good in week one.
I got a question, Kevin, for the world of fantasy. Marvin Harrison Jr., he gets the 2 touchdowns on 4 catches, 130 yards.
Yeah, Randy Moss almost style stat line.
And then does nothing for the rest of the game.
Right.
Do you get frustrated by that, or are you like, you know what, that's good enough, man. You got everything in one quarter, although he did nothing else for the rest of the game.
I mean,
I think I got to be okay with whatever, because that's a lot of points.
I fell into this trap when Aiden Hutchinson had 3 sacks after the first quarter, and I was like, okay, he probably won't get 12, but maybe he could. And then, like, he had 4.5, which is still a monster game. From the 8-1,
teams are going to adjust.
Yes,
to the guy.
Well, sometimes
maybe,
or they might just let Kamara keep going.
Yep.
From the 8-1-7, I was up 4 points with a minute to go last night, and I lost thanks to that TD for Drake London. The fact that it cost the Eagles to lose as well, though, makes it well worthwhile.
I agree.
How much money has to be on the line for you to not agree with that? Like, if you're like, let's just say for some reason you play head-to-head and it's a $500 cash for the winner. The loser gets nothing. You still feel that way?
Did you bet $600 on that playoff game? Or yeah. Was it
yes.
$600?
It would have been me giving you $600 or... Yeah.
So you bet 300?
It was 310.
It was 350.
Okay. Yeah. I just remember going.
It was the most nervous I've ever been in a game where I literally had nothing on the line.
He was like, I just don't want this to happen for Corey's sake.
I was like, don't do this.
Because then, as Mike said many times, I would have had to do with something I didn't want to do.
Oh my God. Don't lead him down that tunnel again. No, I'm not answering your question. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
But Robert Redford, boy.
And here I thought you weren't picking it up, but you were.
I knew the whole time.
Coming up, I want that as a drop. I want that as a drop.
I knew the whole time.
Coming up next, it's time for AM on the
FM.
There's
only one way out for Woody.
Yeah, we got the question of the day, plus my fantasy story that wrecked Sean Sharif's morning. Coming up next here on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. I have to read you one more heartbreaking fantasy note. I lost my matchup because the Eagles didn't kick the extra point on the second touchdown. If they did, I would have won by 0.06.
Oh!
That is freaking brutal.
Mm.
Hey, speaking of brutal, it's time for AM on the FM.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Not out of tough girl.
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Kevin Hagland, it is not as brutal as 640 on Thursdays. It's AM on the Woo! FM right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks
is that
for
the payload?
Hanging out. Yeah, that's the payload.
Ah!
Yeah, it happens. Don't really listen that much, but, you know.
Oh, my God!
The Odyssey app is great because I can rewind and go listen if Peyton throws any shots at me.
Do you think the segment was bound to go downhill when he didn't call it WrestleMania?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, I thought payload was solid, but then WrestleMania is just, yeah. I feel like that would have been a lot bigger of a pull there.
But Peyton does a good job of never changing his tone of voice.
Jesus, Mike.
He is a very monotone man. We'll give him that.
He could have gone with Russell's reserves, something
Ooh,
like that.
Would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like AM on the AM better.
You can't tell if I'm happy, sad, or
okay,
mad.
Okay. Jeez.
It's the Peyton Show.
Well, thanks for giving him his content for Thursday. We start off with a question of the day. I'm going to tell you how I broke Sean Sharif's heart last night, and I got some sound to play for you, as always, but 877-881-1053, that is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. But the question of the day today, it's actually based off of a random car conversation that I had on the way to go hang out with some friends this past weekend. It was a random conversation that somehow ended up at, what is your favorite children's movie that you enjoy as a grown adult? And for me, the one that instantly came to mind that I've watched recently and I enjoy it every time I watch it is Moana. I think that movie is a masterpiece. I think all the music in it is awesome. Yes.
Yes.
He plays Maui.
The second one.
And the second one is coming out somewhat soon, so I'm excited for that as well. But I really do. I love most animated Disney movies just because I feel like they put a lot of time and a lot of effort into them. And the music element's always fun. Yeah, but... other than that, I don't really have any others that come to mind. Moana is one that if I see it on the TV, I will sit down and watch it. It's like a comfort movie for me sometimes. Like, you know, on a weekend, I'll throw it on
yeah.
before I go to bed.
Oh, wow.
You know, like it's just, it's very soothing. It's very fun.
I believe the 1992 animated film Aladdin. That soundtrack could still get it. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Yeah.
You're trying to sex a soundtrack?
What?
No, that soundtrack is. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. Except for that Peebo Bryson song. Oh, man. If you get Peebo Bryson singing, that's right.
Show yes, you the world.
That song right there. But that movie is awesome. That soundtrack is awesome. Go back and listen to that one song. Not when the cartoon characters are singing it, but when Peebo and whoever else are singing it. Woo!
I can totally see Kevin having the lights dimmed in the bedroom and some rose petals laying around, and all of a sudden he hits play on the tape player.
Okay. Look, do I need to admit right now? Weird. God, I should probably stop. Alec, I should probably stop, but I'm gonna. My first... like real girlfriend I had.
Oh, no. Don't do this.
We did make out during Aladdin, and I think that's
in the movie theater.
I was at somebody's house. Well, it was at her house.
Yeah, somebody's
house.
Randomly went to a house and started making out with a girl.
Knock.
Hey, everybody.
Let me in.
No, it was at her house.
Oh, man. See, you know what's great, Kevin?
I regret that.
I said that we had a really random conversation that led to that. It was a similar conversation of music that plays at certain times and what is the weirdest song that is played. And that's how we got to, okay, what's your favorite children's movie that you enjoy as an adult?
Okay, because I want to keep it on this topic, but I want to ask everybody. Feel free to text in Franklin Injury Attorney text line or hit us up on Twitch. Or hit us up on YouTube. It's a fantastic song, but what do you think of when you hear the song Wild Horses?
Sing it for me. I don't know how it goes.
I will not. Haven't I already embarrassed? And Wild Horses.
What's the rest of it?
Nope.
Couldn't drag me away. That part? Yeah.
What do you think about when you hear that song?
I don't know.
The 90s?
All right, let's just see what kind of feedback we get on that.
Okay. What do you think about
horses?
Oh, I know exactly what I'm thinking about. Back to you, Alec.
Let's see.
Recently, Alec.
Oh, you're really close with that answer.
I watched Rango recently, and
I love that movie.
It is so cool. No, it's not the James. That's Django. That is
what the hell.
It is so cool looking. Like, it's really cool looking. But as we were watching it, Adrian and I were like, this isn't really a kid's movie. It's animated, but it's not necessarily a kid's movie. So I'm going to roll out Finding Nemo. I love anything that, like, I love The Little Mermaid. Anything that's under the ocean, I wish I could live underwater.
Huh.
I really do. That's like a lifelong dream of mine.
Would you live or stay in one of those, like, bubble hotel rooms underwater?
Are there such things? Are you making this up?
No, I think they really exist sometimes.
As long as I can have like an emergency air tank.
You swim.
Yeah. No, we don't. I don't.
You take an elevator.
Yeah, how do you open the door?
I don't know. I haven't stayed at one of them.
Google it.
I don't think.
Google. Look it up, Mike. He's not wrong. This is a real thing. I don't believe you. But like, Finding Nemo.
Underwater hotels?
I always love.
Underwater rooms?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see if it works. Wreck-It Ralph is also really good.
That is a really good movie. 682 Sausage Party is not a children's movie. That is not a children's movie.
And
thank you for
that. They made an animated series, and my only thought was, but why?
Yeah.
Who is that for?
It's an awful movie. Like, I thought it would at least be funny.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It was not good to any extent.
Nine best underwater hotels in the world.
By the way,
hotels?
Paper Man. That played before Wreck-It Ralph. That is one of the best short animated I've ever seen.
And Luna.
That's a really good one too.
Yeah.
Let's see, from the 682 Space Jam, from the 469, the original Lion King. Let's see, from the 856, The Year Without a Santa Claus. I love that movie.
I do not know if I've ever seen that.
I've seen it a billion times. My mom loved playing that. We were big on the Christmas movies and Christmas music growing up, so I've seen pretty much every holiday film that there is known to man, even on TLC.
Oh, yeah,
on Hallmark.
I've seen
all of them, and I'm not proud of it.
That thing terrifies me. The Year Without a Santa Claus, the one from whenever we were kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the fiery thing scares me, dude. Claymation like that is frightening for me.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy as a kid. As an adult, I don't mind it, but as a kid, I definitely wasn't really locked in. From the 951, Shrek and the Grinch, those are both good.
Animated Grinch or regular Grinch? is what I need clarification on that. Because
for me, I'd say the regular one.
Whoa.
I do like the animated one a lot. I will watch it. I watch it every year. Like I said, big on the Christmas movies.
I don't like the Jim Carrey one.
Ouch. Yeah, because like, oh, I got disillusioned because they made fun of me for shaving. That's what they came up with?
Because he shaved?
Yeah. Like, come on.
Let's see. Keep those coming in. 877-881-1053. The question of the day is, what is your favorite children's movie that you still enjoy or now enjoy as an adult? Real quick, we don't care about your fantasy football team, but right now we do care about mine because someone even texted in, Sean ended crosstalk by saying, screw you, Alec.
Yes.
And that is because I beat him in our fan fantasy league 124.56 to 122.3. And it is because I had Jake Elliott as my kicker. I went into the game down by, I want to say, like 5 points.
Wow.
And that drop by Saquon Barkley sent out Jake Elliott for a field goal that put me ahead of Sean Sharif when I was down by 0.8 points.
Holy moly, that's amazing.
And so that's why I hate you. I like it.
And that was a team for me that was without A.J. Brown this week, too. So I thought I was a lost cause for sure.
That's wild.
I had no business winning that game. So thank you, Saquon Barkley, for sucking on one play and one play only.
If you're not on Sean's hate list, are you really living? You know,
no, not really.
I used to be on Sean's hate list.
How do you know you're not anymore?
Yeah, you'll be back on it.
That's a fair point.
And like I said, a few days ago or last week, what was it when... the one time I've been to Sean Sharif's house, he German suplexed me into his pool.
I saw it. That was cool.
And now he's blaming Kevin for his kid making his water bill too high.
$600 is a lot for a water bill. That is shocking.
We got to work something out there. But let's see. I do want to play this for Kevin and Kevin only because this is his kind of humor. I don't promote the work or the ideologies of Dan Orlovsky very often.
Whoa.
But this was on First Take yesterday, and I can't lie. This was fun.
What type of coordination did Whitney Houston have?
What type of coordination did Whitney Houston have?
Hand
Mike hates that joke.
He's about to say something inappropriate off air. I'm not going to make that dark joke.
I saw that like on, you know, something over the weekend on dad jokes. And I was like, that's really good.
That's
I like
not
that
bad.
One.
Yeah, that's probably his best work of his
Dolly
career.
Dolly Parton had that too.
That's a good point.
Yeah Dolly Parton had it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wrote it. She was very happy that Whitney Houston sang it, though. Yep. She just said that.
Speaking of having it first, if you go to a wedding, does every dad-daughter dance in the history of the world, is it like, I knew her first, I knew her best? Like, stop it. Come up with a different song, people.
Yeah, it has run its course, absolutely. And one more thing on Whitney Houston. If you haven't seen Julian Edelman's podcast, one, it's really good. Two, he just had John Bon Jovi on the show.
To talk about the Stopping the Jumper?
I think it was before. Oh. I think it was recorded before that, I think. But I did listen to most of it. And he has some great Whitney Houston stories and just great stories in general about really famous musicians and some of the things that they've done when they're on tour or at football games together. Really, really good stuff there. But that's my time. Appreciate it, boys.
I've been clicking on these underwater hotels.
Oh, no.
You changing your trip from Italy?
No, some of them... they're not so underwater. You know, they're not selling the right product.
Okay.
What are they selling?
They're saying they're underwater, but they're like in the water, but not below the water. I'm looking for below the water.
Have you found a single below
there,
the water?
There are some where the door and everything, there is above water stuff, so you don't have to swim down to your hotel room and then open the door, which then I think would flood it pretty quickly. So I just can't imagine being in these things in a storm.
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of stuck.
You're safe in the storm. You're underneath it.
Yeah, but you can't go up to the door.
What if the power goes out down there?
I would just always be afraid of like a crack in the glass.
I know.
And I'm like, where are you going to go?
Yeah, Jaws comes along and cracks it.
Samuel L. Jackson gets eaten.
Man, if you'd ever seen Deep Blue Sea, that was shocking when he gave his big speech and then a shark ate him.
Sorry about the spoilers.
None of these are in the United States of America.
Okay. We'll need to work on that. Coming up next.
Get working on it, U.S.
It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Let's go back and talk some more about the unbelievable ending of Monday Night Football. Next, right here on The Fan.
Hurts gets hit as he throws and intercepted. Picked off by Jesse Bates.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If your question is all that Mike has cared about in the break undersea, under the water hotels?
What?
The answer is yes. He has lots of thoughts about how the prison system could adapt and many, many other things.
Make a prison under the water, but you put only prisoners there that can't swim. And so they're stuck. It's kind of like
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. But that one was on a rock.
Mm-hmm. That's why
you only know that because of the movie The Rock?
I've seen it. I'm going back, man. Get to see all the homeless people there.
Oh, my God. All right.
They're not at Alcatraz.
No, I think they would like to be. They've indoor stuff there.
Well, okay, fine, Mike.
It'd be really weird for the tourists.
This is your fault because we went this
homeless people.
In the break, Mike defiantly said he would rather be homeless than live in that one underwater hotel.
Yeah. It does look terrifying.
I'll figure out homelessness.
Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
There we go!
And let's start with Corey. What's the word on Justin Fields?
Brooke Pryor, who prior to this I did not know about, in an ESPN NFL reporter, by the way, says that Tomlin says Justin Fields will start against the Chargers. Tomlin, quote, "We're readying ourselves around Justin. We'll stay in that mindset until something happens. Hypotheticals are a waste of time."
Mm.
So they're just saying, hey, just keep going this way with Justin Fields. And we'll figure out the next thing whenever the next thing comes. Because, Kevin, I think he's right about that. You just keep focusing on what you're doing each week with that guy. Because, A, he could get hurt. And then, you know, so now you got all these other things. So I think he's dead on there. And they got to figure out how to win with him. And they've done that so far. And it's not by scoring lots of touchdowns. It's by just being able to scrap out wins.
Now, in news that I know at least Carter wants to know, the next UFL season will begin March 28th of 2025. That's a Friday night, as the UFL has said they will start using Friday nights as one of their windows to play games as well.
In the spring and summer?
Yes.
Okay. That's because
in the fall you think that would be
stupid. Yes. Yeah, that wouldn't work at all, but that's very interesting.
So we'll see if it works. Bengals Chiefs, we all agree, was a fantastic game. Went down to the wire. CBS announced that their viewership for that game, 27.87 million viewers. That's the most watched NFL regular season game on CBS since September of 1998.
I would like to know from the audience out there.
Or Mark Cuban.
Are the Chiefs still lovable?
Heck yeah, they are.
And I agree with Mike. I don't hate them yet. Like the Patriots, they were an easy team to be like, don't like you guys. I don't feel that way with the Chiefs. They got fun personalities. Their game is fun. They're not like the Spurs. Okay, that's an off-field stuff, Kevin, that I really don't care about, honestly.
You don't care?
I don't care about when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, no.
Okay.
And he gets paid by the franchise. Like, I get that. No, it's Patrick Mahomes and Kelsey. Rice is a different story.
Yeah.
But again.
Or Andy Reid and, yeah.
Well, not Andy Reid, his son, right?
Okay, but
Andy Reid do something bad?
No. It is with his son, but he helped with a lot of those things. But let's just not dive into that right now. We'll move on to our next story. All right, let's go from that back to Monday Night Football. Were you guys locked in to the Monday Night Football game because it included the Eagles, because it was Monday Night Football, or not really?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is what Jerry said. I know you know what happened.
I know what happened, but I was locked into another Monday Night Football game, and it was my son Carter's first ever middle school football game. They won 27-6, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Schimmel Finnig.
Is that a Plano school?
Yes.
Yes, it's a Plano middle school.
I don't have TV.
Oh, yeah. Mike doesn't have a TV anymore.
That's right.
His kids couldn't watch football over the weekend.
You have some streaming services?
I have MLB, like all the MLB games and stuff.
Okay. But that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin.
Is that going to make it more difficult to do your job at all?
A little bit, because I didn't watch Monday Night Football because I didn't have it. But I'm saving money.
Okay.
I'm going to get it in mid-October when I get back from Italy.
Okay. Okay. That's
so because I'm leaving Sunday again to be on the road, coming back like late Sunday night again, coming back for a week, and then being gone for 10 days. So I figure I can save a month's worth of television.
There you go. The game I was keeping track of while I was up in the stands, and then I did get home at the end of it to see kind of how it all wrapped up. But was it you that asked the question of who, or maybe Sean, who was more likely to go off, and was it Bijan Robinson Barkley?
Yeah.
So I have Bijan Robinson in a league, and so I was kind of keeping track of what he was doing throughout that game, and I wanted to see what Barkley was doing, and Barkley let him down.
Let's go for, actually, I do want to stick on that for just 1 second. I'm sorry. Because A.J. Brown, we already knew he was going to be out, but he said he expects to miss a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury.
Okay, good.
So,
I mean, not good, but yeah, wow. I mean,
Barkley's mom's going to be mad at you.
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's mom. She really is. Well, she's mad at the station.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
They came to a reasonable conclusion, didn't they? Didn't they?
Probably not.
Kiss and make up on the Super Bowl.
They fake did.
Okay. Saquon Barkley. That was his 16th drop since the start of 2021. That's the most among all NFL running backs. I know we had talked about a resurgence in his career, and he could absolutely still have that. But I didn't. I have to admit, I didn't realize his drop levels were that alarmingly high.
No, but you also know he played with Danny DeVito and
Tommy
Daniel
DeVito.
Jones. Only
half the time though, because he was out the other half.
Valid point too.
Well, you know what? That is taking over with all of the marquee injuries. So we're talking about AJ Brown. You mentioned Cooper Kupp earlier. He's expected to miss an extended period of time. Deebo Samuel is expected to miss a couple of weeks. Isaiah Pacheco, I think it's up to like now they're thinking maybe closer to 8 weeks. I know there's always injuries in football, but man, this feels like a lot of early marquee injuries.
Kevin.
Although I guess last year Aaron Rodgers.
I think what you do is sit out the first 2 weeks of the regular season too.
And then you're good.
Yeah, and don't practice. So then they'll all be healthy for week three.
Saquon Barkley had 91 catches his rookie year.
Wow. That is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and since then, he had 121 targets, so 30 he didn't catch. He was targeted 121 times. He had 91 catches.
Hands have gotten worse.
He hasn't gotten as many targets by any means since then, but that is interesting, the 16 drops there, but still lots of production. But yeah, he needs to be better.
This is just a side note. We've talked about how, not automatic, but how seemingly much more automatic 50-plus yard field goals have become, yeah. Or maybe just field goals in general. So Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk put this out. Justin Tucker this year is 0-for-2 on field goals from 50-plus. The rest of the NFL is 35 of 37.
Yeah, Justin Tucker's lost his touch.
I mean, fair, but also that's amazing for the rest of the NFL.
There are more capable legs to do that than there ever have been before. And I mean, you find them anywhere now. Found Brandon Aubrey.
When do you feel confident that the guy might miss it against your team? Because it used to be 45 or more. I was like, okay, like this is, and I get
it. I think it might have to be 55, right?
Yeah. I feel like now, like a guy setting up for a 52 yard field goal, I'm like, well, I don't know. It feels like 9 out of 10 times these guys make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're pretty good at this point, man.
Now, we talked about the Steelers earlier. I wish I would have had this information ready to throw out there. Pittsburgh is 2-0. The Steelers have just one touchdown. They're the first team since the 2000 Lions to be 2-0 with one touchdown score.
Oh my gosh.
What happened to that 2000 Lions team, Kevin? How'd they do?
They didn't make it to the Super Bowl. I know that.
Oh, how do you know?
Because they've never been to the Super Bowl.
Hey, oh, man.
Serious question. Did Barry Sanders retire after that year?
Oh, man, that is a good question.
I think that was his last year, or am I crazy?
I don't remember. I'm trying to see that team record right now. So they ended up going 9-7.
And they lost. Yeah, they didn't go to the playoffs, it doesn't look like, either. Ooh. Yeah. Dang.
So
what a crappy team that
was. We'll see how this Steelers team is able to pull it together. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. By the way, I think it is Patrick Mahomes' birthday today. Happy 29th
Heck
birthday.
Yeah, Patty.
Patrick Mahomes, he just knows how to win, right? Like, he's great, but he also seems to have that inherent quality of, I don't know what it's gonna take, but I know how we're going to win this game. You know what I'm saying? Because it can always be different.
By the way, real quick, Sanders, after 98, retired.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was my senior year. Yeah,
89-98.
That is wild.
Yeah. With Mahomes, Kevin, it just feels like a lot of times you're like, man, we need this touchdown. And he's like, we need this to happen so I can get within field goal range or whatever. Whatever it is, I don't have to be a hero. We're just going to get in position to win.
And that feels like what played out in the Bengals game. He's like, I know exactly what Butker's range is. Let's get comfortably in there and we can go from there. And that worked to a T, not the quarterback.
Yeah,
the expression to a T. All right. So my note for Patrick Mahomes, he has 76 wins. So for quarterbacks in their first 100 starts, the record is 76 with Mahomes, Roger Staubach, and Tom Brady.
Wow.
That's a hell of a group to be in. And Mahomes has only started 98 games. So he still has two more opportunities to break the record for the most wins ever in the first 100 starts of your NFL career.
And I saw too that he has the most Super Bowl MVPs at before age 28 or at this age.
I believe that.
It's nuts.
He feels like he's on pace.
He's tied for third with most Super Bowl wins by this age.
Huh, I don't know who
I guess he's tied with Troy Aikman, maybe?
Yeah, Troy Aikman would have been really young.
Joe Montana?
Did you say games played or games started?
Games started.
Okay, because I'm just looking and I don't know, because I don't know Brock Purdy's. He's played in 27 games. I don't know if he started all of them. He's 18-5 because I was like, is this ever going to?
Wow.
And I was like, Brock Purdy, I don't know if they're going to stay good for a long time, but he's off to a great start with this situation.
Absolutely. That is an incredible start. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, MLB teams don't repeat. So why did the Rangers season feel so sad? Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.